chapter, beginning in the 9th verse. Now let me remind you, immediately after this service, we have some marvelous food waiting over in the fellowship hall. Amen. And we invite every one of you to come and enjoy a good time of food and fellowship right after this service this morning. But after the service, don't get your mind on the food yet. Amen. Let's see if we can stay focused here for just the next few moments. And I'll try not to get between you and your dinner for very long. Amen. But I do have something today that I'd like to preach to you for just a few moments. This is Friend Day, and we're thankful for all of you that are here and our friends that are here today. And so we dedicate this message especially to you. Amen. Reading the 9th verse of the 4th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? The one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Amen. I would like to preach to you today about a friend that I can recommend. A friend that I can recommend. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. One of the greatest things in life are friends. Real, genuine, true friends. A lot has been said about friends, and I think one of the most valuable things is that a friend is somebody that if you have not seen for a long time, you don't have to get acquainted all over again. There's no awkwardness in friendship. Matter of fact, you just pick up where you left off and you go on. Now, that's what a friend is. Somebody also said you never make new old friends. You never make new old friends. You can always make new friends. And we should make new friends. But you never make new old friends. Because it takes a while to make an old friend. You got to go through some stuff. Amen. You got to share some things. You got to go beyond the pleasant and just the norm. And you got to dig deep. The scripture here that we've read in your hearing today, I think, are wonderful verses about the value of friendship. It just simply begins by saying, two are better than one. Amen. And that's true. All you got to do is look down at the end of your arms and you'll find that out. Would you rather have two hands or one hand? Would you rather have 2 feet or 1 foot? You know, 1 foot makes it a little difficult to get around. Have you ever wished you had another hand? If you've ever done much work, you have. Have you ever had both hands full and thought, man, if I just had another hand? There's times I wish there was something to that evolution stuff. I wish I had a big old long tail that I could just put up there and hold something in place and I could get another hand to do something. But it don't work that way. Amen. And we never did have one. Amen. God made them male and female. He made them human beings, not monkeys. Amen. And so it's a good thing that two are better than one. It's good to have another hand or pair of hands. Man, I've been working on a room at my house, and there's things you just can't hardly do by yourself. So it's wonderful when somebody says, Brother Grissom, can I come help you? I said, no. I can do it. No, sir. I said, when can you be there? Amen. If I can just get another hand, some of the stuff I just can't hardly do by myself. You can get somebody else. Two are better than one. Amen. You've heard this, that two heads are better than one, but not on the same body, you know. That's a freak. Somebody said, we think just alike. Well, I don't know if I want that. Amen. I think I'd rather have somebody that can think something I can't think. Amen. Right, that's kind of the idea here. You see if I got any money. I don't know if I do or not. Brother Howard, do you have any money? We're preachers. We don't know if we got it or not. But we both got anybody. Whenever Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none," that's telling the truth, wasn't they? Sister Hart, do you have any money? Somebody's got to have some here. Amen. I got to have some money here this morning. Somebody needs. That's the whole thing. That's why I picked on the wife, because I knew she'd have some. If there's any in the Hart household, I'm going to get over here. Amen. What I need is, I either need a dollar or a quarter. Brother Bubba, you got a dollar or a quarter? Well, this is the poorest bunch I've ever seen. It all went in the offering. That's good. I'll have some money after service. Okay, I just need $1. Okay. Now, Ashley's my friend, and she's got $1. Now, Ashley's going to give me that dollar, and I'm going to give her a dollar. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? Now, what did we gain? Nothing. But if I give Ashley a thought that she's never had, and she gives me a thought she's never had, then both of us are richer. You see, that's why it's good to have somebody that doesn't think just like you. Because they can expose you to things and teach you things you did not have before. So if I'm with somebody that can give me a new idea, and I can give them a new idea, then both of us are richer. So you see, ideas are worth more than money. Money's not worth anything, so just give it all to me. Amen. But the value of a friend, two are better than one. Two are better than one. The reason that you increase in knowledge is because you share with others, and you have friends, and you share with them. They share with you, and you grow thereby. Amen. Two are better than one. God looked at this creation after He made it in such perfection. And then He looked at man and He said, it is not good that man should be alone. God said that. He said aloneness or loneliness is not good. He looked at the fish and they swam in schools. That's why they're so smart. And then He looked at you'll get it in a minute. He looked at the birds flying in the air and they flew in flocks. And he looked at the cattle in the field, and they traveled in herds. And everywhere he looked, everything had something. Everything was together. And then he looked at man. He was by himself. And God said, that's not good. Amen. And so the Bible says God made a helpmeet for him. God made somebody compatible for him. God made somebody like him. And He didn't make another man. He made a woman. A man with a womb. That's what it means. A man with a womb. So He made someone like him, but it was his counterpart. Now, let me just give you a little message to the men here. If you ever think you figured your wife out, you don't have a clue. You know why you never win an argument with your wife? Because you are a reasonable human being. And you get it all together. Man, you are making point one, two, three. Nailed it! And then she changes the subject. As if it never mattered. And you're, but I won! No, you didn't. You didn't change a thing. So we're different. We're counter one to the other. And that's a good thing. I value my wife and I value her opinion. Amen. I value her input. She sees things, especially when it comes to other women, that I don't see. Because I can't think like one. But she can. And so you, if you've got a good, wise wife, it's good to listen to her opinion. Because she can help you out. And especially when it comes to other women. You get around other women, she'll start picking stuff up, but you not pick it up. And she'll keep you out of trouble. Yes, she will. That's why the Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. And it's okay to be a thing in that case, ladies. Amen. It's a good thing. Amen. And it's a blessing. It's a help. Whenever you have one that God has made, a counterpart for you. Amen. It just all fits together. So two are better than one. Amen. God said it's not good for man to be alone. There's a place in the Scripture, in Psalm chapter 142 and verse number 4, David said when he was in the cave, he said, I looked on my right hand and behold, there was no man that would know me and refuge failed me and no man cared for my soul. You ever been in a place like that? Where you just felt like nobody cared? Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat some worms. You remember that song? Amen. If you didn't, I'll teach it to you after church. It's a good song. And so he just felt so lonely. He felt so alone. The fact of the matter is he had a whole bunch of people in there with him. But not one of them was a friend at that point. Now later on, they became friends. But not at that point in time. Hey, it really takes time to make a friend. That's why, you know, on Facebook somebody says, I've got 1,362 friends. Wrong. You may have that many that are trying to get their name on their page, but you don't have that many friends. If you have one or two or three in your lifetime, you're doing really good. Amen. You know what? It takes time to have a friend. And it takes time to maintain a friendship. I said it takes time to maintain a friendship. If you're going to have a friend, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you some effort. It's going to cost you some emotional involvement. It's going to cost you some things if you're going to have a friend. And that's why you can't have a whole lot of them, because if you did, you couldn't do anything else. Amen. But there's nothing more valuable in life than a good friend. God said, it's not good that man should be alone. People are not made to be alone. That's when people that live by themselves go crazy. I'm talking about really alone. I'm not talking about just in a house by themselves. I'm talking about really alone. I'm talking about them guys that go out in the desert and don't need anybody. Just me. Amen. Then they start talking to themselves. And that's weird. Then they start answering themselves. And it's really weird. And then they get to where they can't talk to anybody but themselves. And they're really out there. It's dangerous to be alone. We need one another. We need friends. You know, one of the greatest things about church is friends. Because there are people here that genuinely care about you. I said there are people here that genuinely care about you. There are people here that you can depend on, that you can count on. And that's what friendship really is all about. Amen. It's important that you have a friend in your life. Amen. That's the value of friendship. The Bible said it's not good that man should be alone. Amen. Two are better than one. And then he said in the next portion, he said that because they have a good reward for their labor. Amen. You get more done. Two people can do more than one if they don't waste all their time talking. But sometimes we get more interested in fellowship, we're doing work. But is that a bad thing altogether? Sometimes fellowship's just a good thing. Sometimes that's just a good thing. Amen. And so, but they get more value. They get a greater reward for their labor when two are working together. When you get two people that are working together that really know what they're doing, and one actually, they learn how to even think alike. And they think ahead of one another. And while this one's doing that, this one's already getting the next step ready because he knows what comes next. And he's already there with everything that's needed to do the job. And it's in place and it's all ready because they work as a team and they know how to get it done. You put somebody new in that situation, it slows down the process because you got to learn all over again. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever worked with somebody that you could think alike and man, it's awesome what you can get done. But you've got somebody, and you're like-minded, you're unified in purpose, and you're both thinking about the same thing, and you're both trying to get the same job done, and you're just working in harmony one with the other. It's amazing what you can get done. So two working together, the Bible said, that they have a greater reward for their labor. And then it said, and if one falls, he's got somebody to help him up. Well, it's a dangerous thing to fall by yourself. Amen. It's kind of nice nobody sees you, but well, isn't that the first thing you do when you fall? Is you look around to see if anybody saw you. But if you're hurt, it'd be awfully nice to have somebody help you. My dear little mother-in-law fell a couple of years ago out in her driveway in some ice. It was cold out there. And she laid out there with a broken collarbone for a long time. Before anybody saw her, because she was alone. And finally a neighbor saw her and came running to help her. But she could have died there in that situation. It's dangerous, folks, to be alone when you fall. And as a Christian, that should never happen. A Christian should never fall without somebody noticing, without somebody being there. Amen. It's important that we're together. I mean, there are no lone rangers in the body of Christ. Amen. If you get that spirit, I can do it all by myself. I don't need anybody. Amen. Then you're a cancer waiting to happen. Because you become renegade, rebel, part. I don't need anybody. I don't need anything. I don't want anybody. Nobody loves me. Don't you dare try. You know, that attitude and spirit. Amen. And so that's we can't allow ourselves to get into that kind of situation. I read the story years ago. I loved it. It was just so illustrative at this point. There was a guy walking on a dark and stormy night, and he's walking across a cemetery, and it's raining and it's slippery and the lightning's flashing and the thunder's crashing and he steps close to this open grave and he slips down into it. And it's so muddy and so slippery he can't get out. He's clawing and pawing and trying to get out of that grave and doing everything that he can. And finally he's exhausted and he says, I'm just going to have to wait till somebody comes by. So he settles down. And suddenly, a voice says from the dark corner of the grave, says, you can't get out of here. And he did. Another fellow had already slipped in there. And he couldn't get out. But he didn't have the same motivation. All he needed was somebody to motivate him. Amen. And sometimes a friend can motivate you. And they can help you do things you couldn't do by yourself. You'd never do alone. You know, encouragement goes a long ways. You know, encouragement's interesting. It can come in a negative form as well as a positive form. I've done a lot of things in my life because somebody said, you can't do that. We used to stand in our house, so just hide and watch me. Amen. You just told me I couldn't. Now I really got a reason to do it. Yeah. Amen. I think my brother learned how to use that to get me to do stuff I didn't really want to do. But he'd just say, "You can't do that." "Oh, yes, I can. I'll show you." And he didn't say, he wouldn't even say thank you. Amen. But he learned how to use that. Amen. And aren't brothers great? Amen. They are. God blessed me with 5 of them. And I appreciate that. And so the Bible said that if one falls, there's somebody to help him up. It's good to have somebody to help you up. And we've all needed that from time to time. Somebody to encourage. Somebody to lift us up when we're down. Amen. Somebody said, "Well, come on, you can do it. Just take another step. Come and go with me. I'll help you. I'll go with you." Amen. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ." And so he's letting us know that we need to pick one another up. When somebody falls, a Christian, a friend, will not stand and criticize them and not just start gossip about them and not just can't wait to get on the telephone to tell somebody what happened to them. But a friend and a brother will come alongside and pick them up and help them and restore them and pray with them and encourage them. Amen. Praise God. Any Christians in the house today? Yes. Amen. Any brethren in the house today? Any friends in the house today? Yes. Amen. It's about helping. It's about restoring. It's about picking somebody up. Yes. Amen. And then he said, "And if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How shall one be warm alone?" You freeze to death like that. Years ago, there was a plane crash up in the Andes Mountains in the country of Chile. Way up in the snow. And the survivors, there were several survivors of a soccer team. And it's a horrible story, the things that they had to go through to survive. But one of the things that they learned was that whenever the sun goes down on that mountain in the snow, it gets really cold up there. And so they learned that they had to crawl into the fuselage of the plane, and then they would all huddle together. And the warmth of their collective bodies would keep them from freezing in the night. Now, they were up there long enough in a dire situation that they'd get really mad at one another in the daytime. They'd disagree. You know, friends can disagree and still be friends. And boy, they'd get upset with one another, and some of them would pout. Any pouters in the house? And you know what? They'd pout. They'd crawl off. Amen. They'd get what Charles Swindoll calls it, the porcupine syndrome. They'd get their quills up. You ever tried to hug a porcupine? It's a precarious undertaking. Amen. You got to catch him just right. Because you don't want to hug a porcupine when his quills are up. You got to wait till he calms down. Amen. I've met some folks like that. You want to hug them and help them, but you got to choose carefully the moment that you try to help. You got to let the quills get down first. Amen. And there's nothing like the cold and freezing to get the quills down. So these guys would get upset and they'd argue in the daytime, get upset with one another. But when it got nighttime, amen, didn't matter how upset they were, they got cold enough, they'd join the huddle. You can't join the huddle with your quills up. They're not going to let you. Amen. But finally, they'd get the quills down and they would be welcomed in, and the warmth of togetherness would help them to survive the freezing cold of the night. Amen. You need somebody. You need your brothers and sisters. Your brothers and sisters need you. Amen. And so the Bible says what we draw warmth one from another. I'm telling you what, friends, we live in a cold old world. It's cold out there. Amen. People using people and loving things instead of loving things. Our loving things and using people instead of loving people and using things. That's the kind of world we live in. People all tied up in stuff. Amen. Not caring about anybody else, just using people so they can get more stuff. Amen. But thank God that there is a place that's warm, genuine. Somebody said, but if I open up, I might get hurt. Well, let me put you at ease. You will get hurt. You will get hurt. Amen. But it's better have loved and been hurt than not to love at all and hurt you a whole lifetime. Amen. Praise God. So you got to get the quills down. Amen. And you got to take the risk and enjoy the warmth. Yeah, you're going to have disagreements. Some people are looking for some place, I guess, that where there's not any. Well, you know what? Well, you know, I can't stay here because people, you know, they argue sometimes. Well, guess what? Don't go anywhere else because you'll ruin it. When you go over there, it's not going to be perfect anymore. Amen. Things are only perfect in our head. It's only perfect here. It's not really perfect anywhere. Everywhere there's people, people are the same. That's why this works right here. Because people wrote this about people. And guess what? Here we are, thousands of years later, learning from the same people. Because we are just like them. Amen. And so, anyway, we draw warmth and strength one from another, so it says. And then the Scripture says, and though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand it. Amen. And so when you're fighting an enemy, it's good to have somebody. Somebody says, hey, brother, I got your back. And that's how you get eyes in the back of your head. You got a brother. There was a group of people called the Spartans. And they developed a wedge that they used in battle. And when you got a wedge, everybody is facing a direction. Nobody can come behind them. Because there was some in the front, and there were some covering the sides, and there were some covering the back. And they could march into war. And there's always somebody ahead, somebody on the side, somebody in the back. There's no way to get in. There's no way to come in unsuspecting because it's a wedge. We're all together. See, that's the principle here. He said that one could overcome, but two will overpower him. We have a thing that we talk about in certain areas of life called synergy. That's not energy to sin, by the way. Synergy is a principle that the combined efforts of two not only double the effort, but multiply. You take two people, they not only can do double work, they can exceed that. If they're working together in unity, unity of purpose, and they know what needs to be done, how to do it, they can put out far more work than one person can do alone. You take horses or oxen or donkeys or whatever, and you have one pulling, and then you put another in there with him, and they learn how to work in tandem. They not only double their ability to pull the load, but they multiply. Energy, it's multiplied. Even the Bible talks about that in the book of Deuteronomy 32 and verse 30. The Bible said, how should one, get this, one chase a thousand? Let me tell you something. If God be for you, amen, it's pretty exciting when one can chase a thousand. And then he said, and two shall put what? 2,000? 3,000? 5,000? No. It said two shall put 10,000 to flight. How in the world does that happen? That's the principle that we're talking about here, that if you have two, they can withstand an enemy. And they not only double their reward and their efforts, but they multiply them. The value of a friend. My. Hey, it's a good thing to be part of a fellowship. It's a good thing to be part of a body. It's a good thing to be part of a church. Amen. And then in closing, he says, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, if you take a string that you can break, and then you break that, and then you get two strings, it makes it harder, and you put three together, it's a lot harder to break, if it can be broken off. Threefold cord. We read a story when I was in school, a long time ago. It was a story about this wise father that had seven sons. And he wanted to teach them a lesson. So he got seven boughs or sticks, and he put them in a bundle, and he tied them together. One of those sticks or boughs representing each of his sons, seven. And he tied them together. And then he promised a great reward to the son that could break those sticks. And so he gave it to the eldest, and he took it out, and he thought, well, man, I can break that. So he put it around his knee, and he got his strong arms, and he bent with all the effort that he had in him, and he couldn't break it. And another took it to the fork of a tree and put it in the fork of the tree, and he pulled on it with everything that he had, but he couldn't break it. And one by one, they tried, and each one failed. And finally, they brought that same bundle of sticks back to their old father, and they said, we can't do it. His dad said, well, let me show you how. And they almost laughed. They thought, this old man is going to show us how to break these sticks we none of us can break. And he reached over, and he untied the knot. And then he took one stick at a time, and he broke it in his hands. And then he said to his sons, he said, united we stand, and divided we fall. That's the value of friendship. That's the threefold cord. When we're together and in unity, nothing can break us. But we get divided and split and go in every direction, then we're just easy to divide. It's easy to destroy. Amen. You know what? It'd be awfully hard to go over here to this wall and steal one of these bricks down here. I want that one right there. Brother Terrence, could you come get that brick for me, please? See? It'd be hard to get that little buddy out of there. But you know what? We got a stack of them back over on the other side of the building that are not together. It's easy to take one of them. All you got to do is pick it up and walk off with it. But you want that one? You're not going to get that out without a whole lot of labor. Because it's part. It's unified. Amen. It's tied in. That's why the Bible said the church is a building that is fitly framed together. That's why you've got to understand that you're part of a body. You're not a lone ranger off by yourself. Where you, what you do, somebody said, I want to do what I want to do. It's not going to affect. Yes, it does affect others. Because we're a body. We're framed together. When I try to get out one of those bricks, it's going to affect that whole wall right there. Because we're framed together. As a church body, we're framed together. Amen. Everything affects something and someone. Amen. So we are a threefold cord. Now the threefold cord that he's referring to is simply this. Jesus and others and you. That's it. Jesus and others and you. Threefold cord. Amen. Praise God. Now, there is a friend that I can recommend. I can recommend a friend to you that has never, ever, ever, ever failed or let me down. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he, there's no friend like him. Amen. Anybody recommend him here today? Can anybody recommend Jesus Christ? If you could recommend him, would you just stand here today? Amen. If you know him in some measure, and you know him in some way, and you say, I can recommend him without hesitation and without limitation. Amen. I can recommend Jesus because he's been a friend to me. Amen. Praise God. What a friend he is today. There's no other like him. Amen. There's no other like him. Praise God. Thank you for standing today. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, a friend is somebody that you like to spend time with. Amen. I don't know, I don't think I have any friends that I don't like to spend time with. Amen. At least not sometime. Praise God. Somebody that you like to see. Somebody you like to talk to. Somebody that when you hear their voice, it makes your day brighter. Praise God. Jesus is that kind of a friend. He wants to hear from you. He wants to spend time with you. Amen. And time is the same for all of us. We all have the same amount of it. So if we want to spend time, that's exactly what we do. We have to spend it. We can't get it back. We have to take it from one activity and give it to another. Amen. So I'd like to spend some valuable time here this morning for the next few moments just in communication and fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you like to do that? Amen. There's an altar right here. I think it'd be great if we just come, amen, and lift up our hands, lift up our voices, amen, and just come and spend some time. You may want to kneel. You may want to stand. Whatever you want to do, that's between you and how you talk to God. But it would just be good if we'd come and just lift up our voices and our hands and our hearts here this morning to our best friend, the one that we can recommend to anybody and to everybody. Amen. And just love him and appreciate him. And tell him that we love him. Amen. Jesus, I need you today. And I love you.